It is just coming up for 26 minutes before 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You are, of course, listening to 702. Now, Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan is confident that Eskom is not on the verge of collapse, although it would continue to require government support as efforts to reform the parastatal are underway. He said this during a recent interview with my colleague Bongani Bingwa on The Breakfast Show. Eskom has been facing both financial and operational issues, with South Africans experiencing the return of load shedding with low power supplies. The power utility received a 5 billion rand bailout from the government recently. Now, if you remember, government announced a record of 69 billion rand bailout for Eskom in February to be paid over 3 years. Of that, 23 billion is pledged for the current financial year. Now, Sikonathi Mantshantsha, the deputy editor at the Financial Mail, wrote a very thought-provoking opinion piece in which he strongly articulates another Eskom bailout is looming. But before we speak with him, let's just quickly take a listen to Minister Pravin Gordhan, who had this to say on Eskom when he spoke to my colleague Bongani Bingwa earlier in the week.
No, Eskom is not on the brink of collapse. As I think he was trying to explain the latter part of what I heard, we have a set of state-owned entities that are finding themselves in extreme financial difficulty as a result of state capture, which both you and many of your listeners are aware of. The damage that has been caused to these institutions is huge. It involves financial issues, operational issues, and as the President pointed out, business model issues. We have the problem well under control in the sense that we understand what are the changes that need to be made. And that is why the President announced that Eskom needs to undergo certain types of changes on all of the fronts that I've just described. And if we had an hour with you, Bongani, I can take you through each of them and explain what is it that we are currently doing.
That is, of course, Pravin Gordhan, Public Enterprises Minister, speaking earlier to my colleague Bongani Bingwa in the week. Now, we are now joined on the line by Sikonathi Mantshantsha to explore what he says in his article in today's Financial Mail, where he speaks about the fact that another bailout could be looming. Sikonathi, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Karima. Good evening. Yes, okay.
Now, I'm not a financial journalist, and I get very confused about bailouts that are going to be paid out over periods of time and so on. Now, it was said here that, that a record 69 billion rand bailout for Eskom in February to be paid over 3 years. Of that, 23 billion is pledged for the current financial year. Now, when you say another bailout, are you talking about additional money to that 69 billion rand bailout?
The short answer is yes, but let me just, you said you're not a financial journalist and you don't understand the bailout thing. In a nutshell, someone comes to you and say, Karima, if you go get yourself into trouble, I've got 100 billion rand that I will, it's a guarantee. So I will stand guarantee if you go borrow money that you then cannot afford to pay. That's basically what a guarantee is. Now, National Treasury gave in the budget 69 billion rand in installments, and it said we'll give that money to Eskom. I am arguing that the 5 billion rand that we have seen being dished out last month, plus that 23 billion rand, is not enough. There will be another bailout in addition to that.
Now, you're saying based on the 2% limit of the appropriated national budget, only 17.7 billion can be transferred. The remaining balance will have to be subject to the normal appropriation process when Parliament is constituted after the May election. The 23 billion required a special bill that didn't come up before Parliament completed its business before the election. The National Treasury has targeted disbursement between August and October 2019. And then it goes on to say, because we are in recess for the election period, we cannot process any new bills which have to go through a proper procedure of consideration and national engagement with stakeholders. That was Pinky Pauza, chairwoman of the National Assembly's Appropriations Committee. And that's what she was saying on the phone. Is it as a result of the fact that the parliament isn't sitting that they're going to need another bailout? Or is it because the $63 billion is inadequate and they would require more money? And more importantly, Sikonati, where is that money going to come from?
Okay, Karima, there are many things in the passage we have just read. Let's break them into pieces. One, the government had to give the 5 billion rand because of a delay in cash it was expecting from China, in cash Eskom was expecting from China. So that loan did not come through. But Eskom needed the money now. So it went to National Treasury and said, please give us the cash.
Yeah.
The 23 billion rand that Tshombe Winnie promised had to be passed through an act of parliament. But parliament is in session now.
So they haven't gotten that 23 billion yet?
They have not gotten the 23 billion rand yet. That will only be passed after the sixth parliament sits. In the normal course of the budget appropriation in parliament. But the finance minister has the powers and the president to institute and disperse monies in an emergency. An example, if the government decided to help out in the floods ravaging the country right now.
Which they are.
The president, so they are empowered to disperse money that has not been budgeted for. That is what Tshombe Winnie did last month to give out the 5 billion rand. Now your question is this because Parliament was not sitting, is that why Eskom needed the money? No, it's not. It's because Eskom does not have the money. Because the loan from China has not arrived, and but Eskom needs to spend money now. The reason Eskom needs the money is because it has been gutted. It cannot generate enough money to sustain itself. Hence, it goes around begging for money.
So if, for example, the president and the finance minister has the legal capacity to effect emergency disbursements, either because loans that have been promised, whether it's from the World Bank or the Bank of China or the Development Bank, is still on its way, what would be the process and how transparent would they have to be, Sikonati, to tell us that they are now doing the following things to cover the costs of Eskom?
South Africa's treasury has been very well known to be very transparent. Of course, there is a law according to which these matters must be done, which that parliamentary process I spoke about, the lady you quoted, that's the mechanism, an instrument of accountability. The emergency measures, I don't know what is the threshold. I don't know at what point. How much can the president or the finance minister disperse without actually going to parliament or without telling, disclosing it to a public? But they would obviously disclose that in the quarterly Reserve Bank bulletins. The fact that they did not write a press release and said we've dispersed money to Eskom is neither here nor there.
Yes,
of course, it is against the spirit of the transparency which we have known the Treasury to operate. But the parliamentary process is enshrined in the Constitution that these are the steps you will take to disperse money, to dispense money as according to the budget. I don't know what is the upper limit where the finance minister, I don't think the finance minister can just go and sign 100 billion rand and say nothing about it.
Absolutely.
Having said that, I don't know what the limit is, how high he can go. I don't know.
Well, it's going to be take a miracle to get the finance minister to actually answer that question, because the finance minister obviously generally just refuses to do interviews. He speaks to the international media, but I've certainly tried to get him to an interview. But I would follow up this thing of exactly how they would go about it, because I think that is important, because people feel that, you know, you're throwing good money after bad. And surely that money must be matched by an operational turnaround plan, which is sanctioned and so on. But coming back to the China Development Bank, Mr. Adrian Leque, who's the spokesperson for the Public Enterprises Minister, said the ministry was confident that the China Development Bank would carry out its commitment to help capitalize Eskom. Now, that is that $5 billion that you were talking about. Are there any chances that institutions like the China Development Bank would, in fact, increase disbursements to Eskom? What would be their incentive, given that we haven't seen yet the breaking up of the institution, because the just transition must still be negotiated with a number of role players? There's question marks about whether you need this kind of breakup in the way that has been proposed, or whether you just need to empower Eskom to procure energy from wherever they can to make up, you know, for what they require. How open would other institutions, financial institutions, be to bet on Eskom, given that it is posing such a risk to the entire fiscus and eventually to the entire South African economy? I mean, what is in it for the China Development Bank or for the World Bank or any other institution to invest financially into Eskom?
There's no question of whether Eskom will not get the money. It will get the money. It's not a grant, it's not a donation, it's a loan that has to be paid back. Mm. Any lender that disperses money only needs to reassure themselves that the money will be paid back. Mm. So the South African government has guaranteed that it will pay Eskom's debt in the event that Eskom itself cannot meet it. The question that should be asked is, with Eskom increasingly at risk of breaking apart, of falling over itself, as it cannot obviously sustain itself, the question is, at what price is the money that the loans it is raising? So the risk is higher, definitely. Mm. So the China Development Bank and everybody will lend money to Eskom, because they know the money will be paid back by the government. And certainly they will get a good return, a good interest on the money. So there's no worry about whether Eskom will get the money. Mm. The worry is
at what cost?
Interest. At what cost?
Yes, and the servicing of that debt. Sikonathi, we're just going to take a short break to pay the bills. Please do stay with us. What I want to speak to you about next is the cost of servicing that debt, the drain that it puts on our economy, but also to, if one wants to use your argument and extrapolate it for other state-owned entities, particularly the SABC, that's also technically insolvent. You know, the problem only obviously compounds. The same goes for SAA. So do stay with us. We are in conversation with the Financial Mail's deputy editor, Sikonathi Mantshantsha, that argues in a very interesting article that a second bailout is very likely on the cards for Eskom.
Karima Brown on 702.
It's just gone 11 minutes to 9 o'clock. I'm speaking to the Financial Mail's deputy editor, Sikonathi Mantshantsha, that warns in a thought-provoking piece in the publication that a second bailout is on the cards. Now, Sikonathi, as you say, we don't know exactly under which conditions the finance minister can do it, but obviously it has to be done in a legal way. It will have to be declared and so on. What I'm asking is, what will it cost us to service this debt? Because that was your big question. There's no doubt that everybody will get their monies back, but what is the percentage and what does it amount to in terms of servicing this debt? How will it hit the person in the street, the 702 lander? How will it hit you and me? How will it hit businesses? And then secondly, given the fact that these are guaranteed monies, is the turnaround plan of Eskom strong enough to support this level of investment in it?
Karima, we know that Eskom is now in junk territory, which means it's sub-investment territory, where the big fund managers cannot touch with their loans. They cannot hand money over to Eskom.
Mm.
It's an undesirable borrower.
Mm.
That means then the interest rates it has to charge are really high for a company. If you look at that article that you are discussing now, in the 6 months to September 2018,
yes,
Eskom paid 17.7 billion rand in interest.
Yeah.
This is on debt of 420 billion rand.
Mm.
That's for the 6 months. Now, multiply that by two to get the annual figure. And each day Eskom's situation deteriorates, that interest burden grows.
Mm.
So at my last count, it costs Eskom about 10.5% per annum in interest. You know that the best borrowers, I'm talking about individuals, get interest rates of prime minus, minus 3, minus something. So we're talking about 7%. Eskom is paying 10.5% in interest per annum. That's just the interest. But it also has to repay some of the maturing debt.
Yes.
In this particular period, again, Eskom had to pay 27 billion rand to settle debts that were raised about 10, 15 years ago. So add the 27 billion rand plus the 17 I spoke about, you get about 44, 45 billion rand a year, in the six-month period.
Mm.
And Eskom only raised, this is the concerning part, Eskom only raised 27 billion rand cash from its business. That means from selling electricity to you and I, it only got in cash 27 billion rand. But 35 billion rand in cash had to leave the organization.
I hear what you're saying. When I spoke with Phakamani Khadebe the last time, he said that they are working very closely with the Asset Forfeiture Unit and the SIU and several of the companies that actually owe Eskom the monies. And it's a pity that the NPA is not prepared to speak to us about this. But according to Mr. Khadebe, there's already quite a lot of money that they have retrieved and that they are busy retrieving. But we have no transparency around that from the NPA, so we can't make a judgment on whether that makes a dent or whether it's just, you know, a drop in the ocean. So, but he did indicate that...
Can I come in there?
Yes, please.
Eskom has only recovered 1.1 billion rand from McKinsey, money that was stolen by Eskom's former executives and handed over to McKinsey, another 600 million rand to Trillium, which, of course, Trillium denies it received undue monies. McKinsey paid back the money, not because Eskom went to court or to the NPA, because us in the media refused silenced and pressurized McKinsey to pay back the money. So they paid back the money, and when they still were listed, we carried on writing stories about them until they paid 100 million rand in interest. That is the only money that has been recovered.
No. I hear you on that, Sikonadi, but trust me, Mr. Khadebe did say that they are dealing with several companies and that they are on the verge of getting quite a lot of money back. The problem is that the NPA is not prepared to tell us where the processes are at, because all people want to know are really two things. Are we going to get the money back, and is someone going to go to jail? And the NPA are the only organizations that can actually answer that questions for us.
The impression of that statement from Mr. Hadere that gives is that the Eskom is on the verge of agreeing with some of the looters to return the money. Because if the matter relies on a criminal case, which is where the NPA gets involved, you know how long cases take in court. So we're not going to get money from there. I'm talking about money that Eskom has received that had been stolen but returned. It's only 1.1 billion rand. There is a court case in which Eskom is trying to have the contract with Trillium declared null and void so that it can pursue a civil claim and get its money back. All the others will have to be charged, and that is the NPA's job.
Absolutely. Sekonati, we are unfortunately out of time, but thank you very much for breaking it down for us. I think you're ending on exactly the right note. The NPA actually needs to tell us just how far they are in getting those people into court, and more importantly, how long it's going to take for the prosecutions to go through and for people to be found guilty and for some of that money to come back.